sermon series where we'll look at the Lord's Prayer. We echo with the disciple who came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, we may be great prayer warriors and we may be people who just don't get it yet, but we pray that you would help us. We believe that the effective prayer of the righteous can affect much. So thank you, Father, for your love and your mercy towards us, for not leaving us in the dark. We pray these things in Christ's name, amen. In my opinion, the greatest need of the church at any age, and specifically today, not only this church, but the church around the world, is for prayer. The story is told of these two lumberjacks, and the two lumberjacks, one quite young and one old like me. And they were supposed to have a contest of who could saw down the most trees in a day. And so they got started, and the young guy was taken off, and he was way ahead. And about every hour, though, the old guy would stop, take a break. And the young guy looked over and go, wow, I'm going to bury this guy. End of the day, the old guy had cut down a third more trees than the younger guy. You see, the younger guy had assumed that the old guy was just tired and resting each hour. And what the old guy was doing was sharpening his saw. How often maybe you've been a believer for a long time. It's been a long time since you've sharpened your saw. I talk about cruise control. I drive back and forth to San Francisco so often that it's a bit of a blur. I don't even remember it. And at times it's easy at times for our own walk with the Lord to become a little bit of a blur. And what a terrible thing that is, because he wants to bless our lives. Pick on Richard, he's in the front. 2 years ago, I had four trees blow down on the property I used to own on Hartley, and he got his boys out there to help me chop them up. Now, if I was going to try to do that myself with my little chainsaw, I'd still be doing it today. But Richard came and I noticed every once in a while, one of the boys would sit there and sharpen the saws. Here's my problem. I've never learned to sharpen a chainsaw. It's a good thing I got Richard. No. Or I got Rainbow Ag or whatever. Now, the smart thing would be, if I was going to do some significant chainsawing, would be to learn how to sharpen a chainsaw. And the same thing in my Christian life, and the same thing that happened in the lives of the disciples. They said, Lord, we got to learn how to pray. They saw Jesus praying all the time. We'll get to that in a moment. John Bunyan, that great man of God many centuries ago, put it this way: he who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find him the rest of the day. I don't know about you, but things don't get less complicated throughout the day. They get more complicated. Often, it's easier to get Christians to do about anything other than pray. I mean, you can get people to sign up for stuff, but man, prayer is one of those things that I think we take for granted, unfortunately. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says this, excuse me, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find help to help in time of need. Now, how many of you can relate to that? Help in time of need. You got a need right now? I get it. I do. unprecedented in right now to me in 40 years of ministry, the number of people in our church who are struggling with significant health issues. In my own family, it's overwhelming at times, but the Lord says that we can come to His throne at time of need. We're not alone. And I can trust to say, Lord, Thy will be done. We need to spend time with God because He says He will answer our prayers. And we know that prayer changes things. Here's what it says in Jeremiah chapter 33:3. Call to me and I will answer you. I will tell you the great and mighty things which you do not know. Basically, guys, I'm going to do mighty things, but you're not going to get it. I can't tell you exactly what I'm going to do. But trust me. And so the question I ask each one, do we trust the Lord? And sometimes we say, yeah, but when we don't pray. So we got to learn how to pray. You know, the Supreme Court, a number of years ago, made it forbid invocations, even if they were led by students, at the end or the beginning of football games. Chuck Colson, who I had a chance to sit down and meet and get some time with one day, he said this, maybe we should let the court know it has gone too far. Many good Texans, I suspect, will go to football games this fall and defy the court's order. What a sight would it be if stadiums filled with God-fearing citizens simply rose to their feet and recited together the Lord's Prayer. Here's what I think about prayer in schools and so on and so forth. They made a rule, no prayer in schools. I'm not really quite sure if I want a non-believing teacher reciting prayers that they don't believe. Nothing can stop you from praying in school. Nothing. Teachers, no one can stop you praying for your kids. Keep praying. But the fact is this, is that we have been given this great prayer, not a prayer to recite like it's some kind of mantra, like we're contemplating our navel, yoga type stuff. I'm just being funny there. I'm not anti-yoga, but anyway. But I am against just reciting stuff like it's some kind of super formula, like it's some whatever. So we're going to stand together. We're going to recite the Lord's Prayer. Now, I'll give you a little bit of the history of this in a moment, but here we go. After this manner, he said, therefore, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, thank you that you want to teach us how to pray, and you've used this particular prayer as a model. So help us, Lord, to cherish it. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Please be seated. Now, this prayer is found only two times in the Bible. One is found associated with what's called the Sermon on the Mount. Now, you know why it's called the Sermon on the Mount? Because it happened on the Mount. How many of you have been there? I've been there, all right? And it's kind of a hillside. Here's the equivalent, really. It would be like if you went to one of the houses on the hillside, kind of on the between Lakeport and Upper Lake, and that's kind of what it's like. You know, it's just looking over the lake. And Jesus mentioned prayer. He did it in the context of not praying like the Pharisees and other people who would stand on corners and shout and draw attention to themselves and so on and so forth. He said, but pray this way. The other one was later on. It's in Luke chapter 11. Now let me break this down. This is fascinating. Of the 15 times it is mentioned that Jesus prayed in the Bible, 15 times. I believe Mark, there's four. Matthew and John, I think there's four or five. But Luke has 11. There's something about Luke. I mean, Jesus prayed all the time, but he was really focusing on that. And so we see Jesus coming down from a place, and it tells us this. Let me read it to you. In verse, chapter 11 of Luke. And it came about while he was praying, Jesus was praying in a certain place. After he had finished, one of the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples." Now, it was the way of every rabbi or leader then that they would teach their disciples how to pray. And so he gives them. In fact, this is. Let me read it here because it's shorter. "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation." So the question is that when we have the Lord's prayers is found right there. Well, how did we get that? It's because ultimately the early church, and by that time, they had realized, boy, he has given us this prayer. And by the end of the first century, there was a group of teachings of how to be a Christian, of like a curriculum that they gave to churches, and they called it the Didache. And in that, you have this version, all right, or pretty close to it. Why? Because they were taking not the one that was in Matthew or the one in Luke, but the disciples had figured out, okay, they had put to it other things that Jesus had said regarding this prayer. And so the fact is, when you read in your Bible, in my Bible, it doesn't say anything about thy kingdom come, thy will be, that kind of stuff. Or it doesn't say, for thine is the kingdom, power, and glory, because ultimately we find that in the Didache. Now, you know, don't go home and that's not going to change your life. I'm just trying to give you why when you read your Bible, it doesn't look just like that. It developed, and ultimately, by the Reformation, when you had great change happening in, 500 plus years ago, this was the prayer, and they would pray it. It was typically in early church, this prayer prayed three times a day. Now, how many of you grew up in a church where the Lord's Prayer was shared every Sunday and you recited it every Sunday? All right? That's fantastic, but Jesus specifically said, I don't want you just repeating prayers for the heck of it. Like it's some kind of special mojo if you do this three times a day. Prayers, talking to God, is communicating with our Father, not just sharing things from rote. Here's some other things about this particular prayer. It's only found twice in the Bible, Matthew and Luke. Jesus warns us against repetitive prayers. The disciples asked, teach us to pray, not give us a prayer. And so part of it is that I think it's great blessing and advantage for us to use the Lord's Prayer in our devotional life and even in church and in our worship. But here's the point. Jesus wants us to pray. After he tells the disciples, he gives them the Lord's Prayer, he then gives a little bit of a teaching about prayer, starting in verse 5 of chapter 11. He said to them, suppose one of you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, let me three loaves of bread. For your friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And from out inside he shall answer and say, do not bother me, the door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed, I cannot get up and give you anything. Can you imagine? Someone comes to your house, a friend, says, hey, I need some bread, it's a midnight. You go, what are you doing here? You say, hey, we're already asleep, get lost. Or you say it in a nice way, sorry, I can't help you, come back in the morning. But he says, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Here's the first issue of prayer in the teaching. Prayer must be persistent. Just keep praying. Man, there's stuff I've been praying for a long time. There's unsaved friends of mine I've been praying for since before we were in high school. I've been praying for healing for people for decades, you know. Just keep praying. So that's, he said, teach us how to pray. Here's an example of a prayer. And then their very first thing is persistence. Well, let's keep going here. And I say to you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. To him who knocks it shall be opened. Now suppose one of you father is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he asks for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, you know to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So here's the first picture. Be persistent in prayer. The next is the promise of prayer. Knock, seek, find. God's going to answer your prayer. And he's like a father. He's not going to give you a snake or a scorpion. He wants to bless his children. So that's the context. Now, with that being said, that God wants to bless us through prayer, he wants to connect us through prayer, I believe he has given us prayer to accomplish what he has for us on this planet. Because one day we'll just stand before him face to face, right? But right now, we're communicating through prayer. We start each service, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. The Bible says, who's your neighbor? Well, even your enemy's your neighbor. So if you want to impact and have a positive relationship with God and man, it is through prayer. The key element is through prayer. S.D. Gordon, I shared a little book last week. S.D. Gordon says this about the world we live in. A great sorrow has come into the heart of God. Let it be told only in hushed voices. One of his worlds is a prodigal world. Hush your voice yet more. Ours is that prodigal world. Let your voice soften still even more. We have consented to the prodigal part of the story. But in the softest tones yet, God has won some of us back with his strong, tender love. Now let the voice ring out with great gladness. We one ones may be the pathway back to God for others. How do we do that? We do that, it says that the Father tells us in this teaching about prayer, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him? Friend, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. And that power of the Holy Spirit is made known and comes through the power of prayer. That's how we impact our relationship with the Lord. And that's how we impact our relationship with people. So, we have that power. There's only one indwelling power that we have. And, excuse me here. Let me get the right page. There we go. So, his presence within inside of us, which is a gift of God through prayer, when we receive Christ as our Lord, is how we will have a proper relationship with him and others. Prayer. Five great outlets of this power are: one, your own personal life. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Yet we are constantly do more in what we are than in what we do. So what do I mean by that? Our life is a way that we God can show His power through our life. We're His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. I want to thank you for those who said, hey, I want to help with Awana. In a little bit, Pastor Paul is going to say, man, I need some more help with the team of people to help with Refuge. He needs people to help feed those kids every Wednesday night. He also needs people to help be part of his team to help disciple those kids. We're going to be signing up for stuff for Journey to Bethlehem. We're trying to let the whole county of Lake know that of why Jesus Christ came. We're trying to do that in an innovative way that would draw people in. So use your life in that way. It's a powerful way. The next way that we can use the power of God, not only through our life, but it's through our lips. Psalm 71, verse 15, my mouth shall tell of thy righteousness and of your salvation all day long, for I do not know the sum of them. Psalm 96, 3, tell of thy glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among the people. Psalm 145, 6, men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. And then Psalm 51, verse 15, O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praises. So his power comes through our life, but also through our lips. Just make sure that your words are bringing glory to him. The third, not only is our life itself in totality, but also our service. And you say, well, yeah, but boy, I don't have the skills of this person. But the Lord has gifted you, has made you his workmanship. And so the issue is that his power can be made manifest through your service, even though it may be small. Sometimes he manifests it through our money and our material wealth. To whom much is given, much is required. But the biggest and the most important way, I believe, that the power of God is manifest in the body of Christ is through prayer. The power loosened through prayer is tremendous. Here's a quote. The greatest thing anyone can do for God and for man is to pray. It is not the only thing, but it is the chief thing. We've got to pray. I got to tell you this. If you think that we're not in a spiritual battle, then you're blind. Peter tells people in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in his own time he'll lift you up. Give him all your worries and cares, for he's always thinking of you in watching everything that concerns you. But watch out for Satan, for he prowls around like a hungry, roaring lion seeking victims to devour. Stand steady when he attacks firm in your faith. And remember that other brethren in the world are suffering the same things too. Friends, I have realized in the 45 years I've been a believer, the three things that the enemy attacks is my prayer life, my time in the Word, and my time in fellowship. Those three. So if he can get me out of prayer, get me out of the Word, get me out of true fellowship, then the other one, which is my witness, gets really weak, doesn't it? I love my wife. She's at women's retreat. I have survived the 2 days that we, you know. Mike, did you survive?
I've been lonely.
Barely. Yeah. But you know what? We were actually supposed to leave for Italy today. I'm putting a new kitchen in for her. And she wasn't sure if it would all get done, and she didn't want to have to worry about the kitchen and then dream about Italy at the same time. So we'll go. This is for a promise I made to her for our 40th wedding anniversary, which was last year. Now, I got to tell you, I'm pretty excited about that. I'm much more excited about, I can look at pictures of Italy, right? High definition. But I get to go and experience Italy with my lovely wife. God wants what we do to come out of our love for Him. He wants our service to come out of love for Him. S.D. Gordon put it this way, the great people of the earth today are people who pray. I do not mean those who talk about prayer. I do not mean those who believe in prayer. And yet those who can explain prayer, I mean those people who actually take time to pray. Once again, the enemy doesn't want you to pray. You wake up each morning and you say, that's going to be a rotten day today. That's not the Lord. But you know what? If that's how the enemy wants to play the game, then fight back. Say, no, it's not. And then you beseech the Lord. Lord, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, I've been tempted to make this a lousy day. It's not going to be a lousy day, but this is the day that I give to you. Let every temptation, every trial, every attack turn you to prayer, throw you into the arms of our loving God. Thwart the devil. People today are those doing most for God and winning souls and solving problems and awakening churches and supplying both men and money for missions posts and keeping fresh and strong these far off and sacrificial services on foreign fields where the thickest fighting is going on and the keeping of the old sweet, this old earth sweet is a while longer are people who pray. S.D. Gordon. God will do as a result of praying the humblest one here who otherwise would not do. Last week I shared about the woman who with Dwight when Dwight Moody was in London and how all of a sudden these meetings turned around is because he found out that this woman had been praying for 5 years. People ask me, well, how come Grace Church is growing and so on and so forth and how come this is blessing? I got to tell you, I don't know. I just know I'm just trying to be faithful to the Lord and to His will. But I believe it says. Someone's praying. Is it you? Are you the one? I hope you are. Because that's what it is. It's the secret. It's the secret agents of prayer who are praying silently. Praying for me, praying for my family, praying for the staff, praying for Awana, praying for refuge, praying for this church, praying for this county. That is where the power is unleashed. That's God has always done it that way. Amen? Here's a quote, it should be up on the screen. Our prayer is God's opportunity to get into the world that would shut Him out. You know, I've been told when I first moved to Modesto years ago, I was put in charge of Mark Twain Junior High School. I went across the street and we did Bible studies at 7 o'clock in the morning before, and we called it sunrise. All over Modesto, we'd have as many as 300 junior high kids. We'd pick them up. I had the poor side of town. I wanted to go over and talk to the principal, Mrs. Shively, and say, hey, by the way, my name is Gary Zeke. If you see me walking around, I'm doing a Bible study before school in a private home. And she says this, if I see you one step on our church campus, I'm going to have you arrested. I wasn't very friendly. I found out, what the rules were, so I found out that they needed some help with after-school athletics. So I went to Herb and Rui, who were the old gym teachers at that junior high school, and I volunteered. Hey, I'd like to volunteer to help out with flag football. They thought that they had died and gone to heaven. Well, then 3 months later, as I began to pray, God, please open the door of that school, all the teachers went on strike. And Herb and Rui said, you know what, you've been running this program. Here's what we'd like to suggest. We'd like to give you the keys to the gymnasium. We'd like to pay you. We have some money for a stipend where we can pay you to be in charge of after-school athletics. But it has to go through the principal. So one went back to Mrs. Shively And now I was part of the solution and not part of the problem for her. How do you keep kids on the poor side of town active after school? Well, have an after-school athletic program, and so I was in charge of that. Kids from the projects. And from 3 months or 4 months, whatever it was, from her telling me, I'll have you arrested, well, I was her best friend, and she gave me the keys to the school. Did that happen because my name was Gary Zeke? No. Did it happen because I'm handsome or because I'm very clever? Probably not. It happened. It's the power of prayer. Prayer can get through to the hearts of young men and women. Get through to countries where right now the gospel is locked out. And a couple months from now, you're going to have a friend of mine named Pradeep. He's from Nepal. He's planted 200 some odd churches. And we're trying desperately to raise up and to teach a cohort of 20 to 25 leaders so that they can teach 20 to 25 leaders before it's illegal to do that. And I can feel frustrated, oh Lord, we need this. But you know what they need right now that no one can stop? They can't stop your prayers. You can't stop your prayers. That's how we reach the prodigal planet. That's how you reach your prodigal kids or your grandkids. That's how you reach a prodigal county. It's the power of prayer. And as we start up these many ministries, and praise the Lord for them, as we start up these ministries, I appreciate people's willingness to serve. But more importantly, we need the power of prayer. God would send His own Son into that prodigal planet. And if there's someone that we need to look at to say, Lord, how do we win this day? How do we win Lake County? How do we win California? This goofy, weird county and country and state to live in. It's just weird. Well, wasn't it weird during the Roman Empire? Wasn't it weird while the Christians were being slaughtered by Mao Zedong? Wasn't it weird in Nazi Germany? Well, it's weird now. Get in line. Let's start praying. God will work powerfully. Because that's what He promises. S.D. Gordon says, Jesus is God spelling Himself out in a language that men can understand. Pastor Robert Murray M'Cheyne said this, what a man is on his knees before God, that he is, and nothing more. Now everyone get this. I didn't write this down. It won't be up there. Prayer is the greatest barometer of the health of your faith. Because prayer is talking to God. And if you're not talking to Him, then who are you talking to? Prayer is the greatest barometer of your faith. So we're going to learn how to pray. And we're going to learn how to pray because Jesus said, hey, pray like this. So for the next many weeks, we're going to unpack that and look at it. But here's what I have to say. I believe this, that we need to breathe in with the Holy Spirit. We need to breathe in what He wants. And I'll close with this example. You know that whales, their lungs are by percentage about the same size as our lungs. But our lungs can translate oxygen and carbon dioxide about 15 to 20%. But the whale, it's like 90%. So here's what the whale can do. It can take a big gulp of air and go dive down and be underwater for a long, long, long time. Then they come up for air. Guess what? You're not a whale. When was the last time you came up for some air? Spiritually. Shut everything off. Throw the stupid phone away. Throw the TV away. And just sit and talk to God. You know that today you can spend a half hour in India. Close your eyes. Go to prayer. and pray for the Whigs. Pray for the Jyoti Rothams. You can be there. Nothing can stop the devil. You can be there and you can impact the world. That's how he's created us. But we need to breathe him in. We need to ask, Lord, please, more of us. Help us to be this place to be a house of prayer. We're going to start, we're going to finish by singing Breathe On Me, Breath of God. It's an old song. So if you don't know it, it's pretty easy and you can learn it. All right. How many of you know the song? Raise your hand. All right. You'll have to sing extra loud then. All right. So let's do this. Breathe on me, breath of God. Stand together. All right. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew. That I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until with thee thy will. And do. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine, until this earthly part of me glows with thy fire. No county in California per capita, more money is spent, more people come to help us. Poorest county of all California. And I appreciate all the hard work of social services and all of our government stuff. I appreciate their help. But it's going to take prayer. Prayer will change the hearts of this people. Because prayer changes your heart and my heart. Our Heavenly Father, help us, Lord. Teach us how to pray. Help us, Lord, to define ourselves not by just but by what we do, but who we are with you. And Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day and God bless you.